I wrote something in the middle of the night. As a matter of fact, it took me almost one whole night. God awakened me and filled me with such bliss that this is what came forth. I've entitled it "The Everythingness of God." It was written many years ago. You are the spirit within me. You are the essence of my life dwelling in the cavern of my heart. You are the force primeval, the power which makes me move and breathe and have my being. You are the light of my world. You are the wisdom stemming from the deep recesses of my consciousness. You are the ocean of love whose waves lap on the shore of creation, brought there by the ecstasy of the union between spirit and nature. You are the bliss which lifts me on high. You are the music of the spheres playing the grand symphony of your universal song of Om. You are the individual notes of the haunting melody of love, which you sing within me in perfect harmony to enchant my enraptured soul. You are the beauty of form and of color, of all that springs from the earth and is seen in the sky. You are the summit of the mountain and the lowest point of the valley and the white cloud floating overhead. You are the twinkling star, the soft glow of the moon, and the blazing fire of the midday sun, hung in the wallless chamber of space, evidence of the radiant splendor of thy wondrous presence. You are the fragrance of the rose and the song of the nightingale. You are the warm summer breeze and the loud roaring storm of winter. You are the moisture which falls as the rain drops to water the thirsty soil. You are the soft, white, lacy snowflakes which blanket the ground as all nature sleeps. You are the joy of happiness and of laughter. You are the tears of compassion which expand the heart. You are the peace which passes all understanding. You are the Alpha and Omega, and yet you are beginningless and endless. You are man, you are woman, you are God. You are the ever-conscious, eternally living reality, expressing yourself as the one and the many. You are the great I Am, the almighty I Am That. Bible reading this morning is from Psalm 46, beginning with verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow, and cuts the spear in thunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. I want to speak to you this morning on this subject. Live in the eternal now. As I've said many times before, all of us are either living in the past or trying to live in the future, which is not yet upon us. And we never really learn to live now, this moment. And yet, now is all there is for us. Now is eternity. Did you ever think when the Christ said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock," that applied his eye to one man who lived 1,000 or 2,000 years ago? Believe me, it did not. Because that I Am has existed long before 2,000 years ago. It has existed since the beginning of time. It is not contained in any one man now. No way. The I Am is that which is beyond all human apprehension. Recently, I was given three little books, one of which was the top one, intrigued me tremendously, the title of it. The Little Me and the Big Me, or The Little I and the Big I, I think it was. And that we are using in our Sunday school to teach our children that they have a little I, which is the human self, and the Big I, which is the God self. It goes on to explain all of the humanness of man and how we look to ourselves to do everything. And then it goes on to explain this Big I, which is in the center of our being, and which is God himself in human form. How do we get this? How do we get to this place of recognizing this tremendous I which is within us? This chapter that I have just read in the Bible this morning tells us, be still and know that I am God. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the light of the world. I am everyone, he who knocks at the door. And yet, we never stop to think when we are constantly reaching out in prayer that what we ask for cannot be given to us in the way that we ask for it, in the manner in which we ask for it, because we have forgotten to be still, to go beyond the idea of our needs, of our wants, and go to that eternal I that is within us. That I has been knocking on the door of our consciousness for centuries, and yet it is we who have failed to open the door. When we ask someone to pray for us, or when we pray ourselves for things, for health, for possession, for relief from trouble or want of any kind, we will not get our answer in the way that we should, because we do not have our full attention centered upon that great I that is within us now and every moment throughout eternity. We have not opened the door and gone into the stillness of our own soul. You not know that it is not even necessary to pray for anything, because God is all of those things. And if you went inside and searched for him there, became one with that great light of your own soul, that all supply, all power over all of the kingdoms is given unto you. And yet, not to you, the little self. You see, it is very dangerous many times, they say, to say, you are God in human form. Some people will tell you that. Yet it is the truth. But if you give that precious word, that precious pearl, to someone whose consciousness is not ready to receive it, that one will immediately take it into the personal consciousness and will think to himself, I am God. And yet that one who thinks he is God is not God at all. He is an evil one who sits on the throne of God, telling himself he is God. It is that subtle, delusive power which again steps in. I have power. I can heal. I can do this. I can do that. And in truth, we cannot do anything. Jesus himself said, I of myself am nothing. It is my Father who doeth the works. And indeed, every moment of our lives, it is our Father who doeth the works. And if we would but open that door, go into the stillness, the sanctuary of your own soul, and just relax, release yourself into God's tender, loving care. All that the Father has will be yours. Every single thing. People come to me constantly asking me to pray for this, for that, for the other thing. And I used to do this. I used to sit in deep meditation praying for them. And many times, many miracles happened as a result of that. But now they ask me, in the mere fact that they have reached out to God, who is in their own form, and to God, who is equally present in this form and every form, has opened the door, and their prayers are answered. Yet I have not done one thing, I, the little I. I have immediately turned it over to God, because I have realized within myself that there is only the one who represents and expresses himself as the many. And therefore, I need not ask, because because he has already heard that which is asked of him, because he is that. And immediately, because that prayer was lifted upward, he opened the door, and he showered forth some of his blessings. And again, a miracle happened. Something happened to change the life of another soul. You cannot give light where there is no open space to receive it. If somebody insists on living in a dark room where there are windows, but the windows are shuttered tight, where there is a door, but the door is never open, and expect to see the sunlight, just think what you are doing to yourself when you keep yourselves in body and thinking that I am in this small temple, this little tiny eye, to which you give so much power, so much credit, so much time, and yet this little eye of itself cannot do one blessed thing. Jesus said, this man that we have followed for 2,000 years, I myself can do nothing. You have to make up your mind once and for all. Are you going to follow the Spirit, or are you going to follow the form? If you follow the form, your mind is constantly in the outer. There are many people who do that in the religious sense, that it gives them help. It gives them confidence. It gives them what they feel they need for the moment. But they are depriving themselves of going within that holy place and finding the real answer, the real light, of going the way of the cross and the Christ, which is to be done within each man himself in order that he might find his Christhood. It is within us that we find the Holy Eucharist. It is within us that everything happens, heaven, hell, no matter what, we make our own. And we have to live with it. We have to face it. But if we would learn to live each moment in the fullness of God, in the stillness of our own soul, and from there be active in the world, then everything that came forth from us would be of God. It would be filled with love, with beauty, with intelligence, with power. So many people say, I'm going to heal somebody. I have the power to do this. No way do they do it. God is a soul power. He is the soul healer of the universe. This complete I is within you. But that I is only one little tiny spark of the great I that is infinitely present. And that I is eternal. Let us wake up to the fact that we will never be what we hope to be in any phase of our existence. And so we take the time, morning, noon, and night, and in between, to consciously turn ourselves over to that tremendous presence within ourselves. And let it work for us. We have to do everything, always. But we, in truth, do nothing. It is He. It is He. It is He. I have told you the story about my meeting with this great Mohammedan saint 10 years ago when I was in India, and how that day God was quite egotistical within me. He was really throwing His weight around. And finally the saint said, Mother, I know that all that you say is true because I myself have experienced it during these last 3 years. But we must remember to cultivate humility. It is He, it is He, it is He. And I smiled and I looked at him and I said, indeed, it is He, it is He, it is He. But if I am totally surrendered to Him, I cannot cultivate humility or anything else. Because He alone acts through me. He alone thinks through me. He alone speaks through me. He alone feels through me. He alone does everything through this form which He Himself created. And He alone is the indwelling presence. That is what is meant when it says to be one with God. It is your will to do only the will of the Father. Not to exercise your own will that much to do what you want to cater to your senses. But rather to give your whole life to Him. I've been having a strange experience lately. As I've told some of you, I either have to buy in where I am or I have to move. And to move would be unthinkable with all of the papers and the tapes and the things that I have. And so I've been striving desperately to get enough money together to do what is necessary. All of a sudden the other day I felt I was through with the place. And I wondered now, is this for real? Doesn't God want me to stay here? And for the moment I thought, well, now that's strange. Here we've gotten into all of this and I've been making all of this effort. And yet, here I am feeling like this. And all of a sudden I realized that it didn't matter if I stayed there. It didn't matter in the least what happened if I had to just put all the stuff outside. I was ready, willing to surrender everything to Him and just wait for His voice of direction, of guidance, for Him to tell me what He wanted me to do. Now, whether this is a feeling of something that is to come, I don't know, or whether it was just a test to me to see if I was attached, a test for me to see if I was attached to this particular place, and I found that I wasn't. Because the whole universe is my home. Wherever I go, I hang my hat, and that is home. Wherever I go, I take my temple, my church with me, because this is the temple of the living God. And every moment of my life, I can serve Him, I can worship Him, I can adore Him. And I listen to that voice of direction every moment. I do not live a dull life, I can assure you. I think that I have more fun than anyone I know. God is always bringing up something in a humorous sense. Sometimes He gets a little out of hand. And I do. What can I do? Because when you have once tapped that fountainhead, that universal source, then you yourself have attained oneness with the universal consciousness. And there is no longer two, but only one. Now there seems to be two. And that is God's plan for the sake of working in this world of duality. Because people refer to you, they think of you as a body. They think of this body, many people, as being God Himself in human form. Well, He is in their form, as well as in this. But until you have attained that consciousness of your oneness, you're still in that ego consciousness, and you're just kidding yourself. It is not reality. When you have risen above all of the things which you must go through, on your way to attaining that jewel in the midst of the thousand-petaled lotus of the brain. That is the seat of Christ consciousness within yourself. When you have gone through all of that and been lifted up, then and then alone, would you know what it means when it says, I am that I am? But still, being the one, you find that you are expressing yourself as the many. That there is no difference any place, no matter where you look. There is the light, the glory, the wisdom, the power, the love, the energy of God, all of the tremendously wonderful things of God. And that power is equally present everywhere if you would only tune in with it. Maybe some of you have read the story of Kinship with All Life, and about this great dog, Strongheart, who seemed to have sixth sense. He was in tune with the infinite. And how the man who came to Dog said him, shall we say, was taken into a totally new world. His dog led him into the silence of his own soul. How come? You see, because it was there. I can't stress too much the importance of just going into the silence. If you have any problems, lift yourself above the problems. Give yourself totally to God. And there you will find the answers to all of your problems. You will find all the supply, all of the help, all of the comfort, the sympathy, the love, the everything that you need. Everything. There will be no lack in your life. Believe me, I can testify to this. You see, I am so totally surrendered to God that He wants to take away from me everything that I have in the material sense. This is all right with me because I still have Him. If He wants to take me from this body, still I know that I will live. Because I have experienced the state of death. And I know that in spite of having gone through this tremendous experience, that I stand before you, filled with the life of God. Because the Spirit can never die. It is eternal. It is infinite. It is everlasting. And so if we learn to live in this now, this deeper now, this spiritual now, then all the rest of the things fall in place. But But we have to learn balance. We have to learn to balance the things of the physical, the mental, the emotional, and the spiritual. Because you cannot separate God from God, and He's all of these things. All of these things. But yet, He is above them, or rather He contains them within Himself. I may have told you a story years ago, which Swami Achyukananda in India told me. This happened at the ashram of the great saint, Chaitanya. The presiding master at that time, pardon me, was a very great soul. And he had great faith in God, and he also had the spiritual perception to know exactly what was going on at all times. So one day, a dog came to his ashram, and all the rest of the people in the ashram paid absolutely no attention to him. But the saint welcomed him, took him in his arms, loved him, insisted that he be given a private room, a bed in which to sleep, and eat all the best food of the ashram. And the people thought the saint was crazy. How come all of these things were being given to this dog when here were all these people around, many of them perhaps hungry? And, you know, in secret, as sometimes happens behind the back of the saint or the guru, they were talking about how he shouldn't do this and how he should do this and all the things that were wrong. But the saint went right on doing it. Finally, one day, this dog died. And the saint just absolutely mourned and mourned. He cried and cried. And he ordered a special ceremony. And he sent a couple of his devotees out to invite all the dogs he could find to come to the funeral service. And he ordered a big banquet prepared. And the people in the ashram thought, surely he had lost his mind. He had gone mad. And how in the world were these devotees going to communicate with all the dogs and see that they all got there at one time? It was literally impossible, they thought. And so the time came, the receipts for the dogs, even the food was spread out. The ceremony was all, everything was ready for the ceremony. And so those disciples who had been talking behind the saint's back sat there and snickered to themselves as the time went by. It got closer and closer and closer, and not one dog had appeared. And so they felt very justified in their criticism of him. But all of a sudden, right on the stroke of when they were supposed to be there, there was a whole army of dogs filed in, and very quietly, each one of them took their seats. They sat there through the whole ceremony. They partook of the banquet, and then they all filed silently out. And the devotees finally went to the saint, and they said, "We do not understand this miracle that has happened. What has happened?" And the saint said, "There was a great saint, a great soul in the body of that dog. He had just that much to go before he got his final illumination. He chose that form in which to do it. And God showed me that, so I paid him great respect. But you did not know that, because your doors were closed. Your eyes were so blinded that you could not see the light." It's a very strange story, but he told it as the truth. It is part of the Indian history, and it is all over India. I sat at the feet of this great saint, who was the greatest one I ever met outside of Swami Ramdas in India, and listened to story after story after story, as he brought forth the truth in so many beautiful and wonderful ways. And believe me, he tested me up and down and back and forth. There was no question about it. And the last day, I walked in the garden with him. We were walking hand in hand. And I said to him, this was the man who had asked me for his final God realization. And I said to him, "Swamiji," I said, "I am very sincere about asking you this. Is there anything else I need to do in order to perfect myself in God?" I said, "You have only to tell me." I said, "I feel so humble beside you, really." I said, "The truth that I have learned at your feet. I said, the great words of wisdom I have listened to. I have felt what you are in God. This is the man who left home when he was 9 years old and went out into the jungles, and for 34 years he worshipped God stark naked, but there he was in the cold, in the heat, in the jungles, living on grass and fruit, berries, sleeping with wild animals. And to me, he seemed absolutely fantastic. He had power over snakes. Nobody dared go out of the ashram unless they asked him, then he would extend the protection there. But you saw snakes all over the ashram. They never bothered you. Some of them were poisonous. It was rather a threatening experience to start with, but anyway, we got used to it after a while. And finally, I asked him this because of his greatness. And he looked at me and smiled very sweetly, having tested me right up to the belt. He said, "No, Mother, there is nothing. I am well pleased." And those were the sweetest words I think I've heard in a long time. Wouldn't you feel that way? But anyway, we learn these lessons as we go along. But we must learn to forget the past, because whatever we are this moment in God is a part of that which came with us. All of the experiences that we go through in life help to build what we are now and all of our tomorrows. Now, if we don't like what has happened to us in the past, that change can only take place within ourselves, and we can't do it. That is the trouble. When you want to give up smoking, when you want to give up drinking, when you want to give up drugs, when you want to give up sex, when you want to give up anything that is undesirable, you think of what you want to give up. And you forget to let go of it and let God, to take your attention off of it totally and put your full attention upon Him, because He will cure all of your ailments. But we keep trying and trying and trying, and then we beat ourselves. And we get depressed, and we get downtrodden, and we never accomplish a thing. That is because we have not surrendered ourselves in full measure to Him now, this moment, and every moment. But many times, having thought that we did this, we are Indian givers. And we give it to God, and then we take it back again. As I told you the story about Shiva and Parvati, I think it was, who was his consort. They were sitting at the table eating, and all of a sudden Shiva got up and he had to leave. And Parvati said to him, "Why are you leaving, my lord?" He said, "Oh, one of my devotees needs me." So he left, went to help the devotee. Pretty soon he was back. Only a few minutes had elapsed, and she said, "Well, I thought you had to go out and help your devotee." And he said, "Well, I did, but when I got there, he had called upon me, but then he was doing it himself, so he had no need of my help." And that's the way all of us do. We ask God to help us. And then we try to do it ourselves, and we cannot. If you would just in one fell swoop give up everything that is bothering you and stop worrying about it, just give it all to God. Supposing you do fall flat on your face again, who's going to suffer but you? And if you suffer enough, one day, believe me, you're going to pick yourself up and you're going to say, "This is the last time this has ever happened. I'm tired of being all bruised and bleeding. I'm going to turn myself over to God and I'm going to let Him do it because I can't." Because sometimes, you see, a habit becomes so strong that we become the slave of the habit instead of the master of it. And we are all trying to be masters, not slaves. All trying to be masters, not slaves. When you are a slave of your emotions, if you are a slave of your senses, you are indeed a long way from God's realization. You are still in darkness. And yet, in one moment, just think, one moment, like Paul on the road to Damascus, saw the vision of Christ, and where he had been Saul going away from God, preaching against him, all of a sudden, this tremendous vision came to him, and he turned his face toward God. And he became Paul, the new one, the little one on the path. There are miracles all over this world. Life is the greatest miracle that ever was, because it is the miracle. It is God living His life. And it cannot be contained in one form. It is contained in the many. But there is that one power, that one consciousness, that one presence, and one alone in this whole world. This idea of sin, this idea of separation has to go before a man can realize who and what he is. It has to go. Let us not think of the past, the things that we have done that are undesirable. There isn't one single human being in this whole world we've come into this world perfect. Because we are all born the sons of man. We are born in human consciousness with a human thrill, with the attachment to the senses. And the sad part of it is that from the moment we open our eyes, we are not told about God who dwells within us. But we are taught about everything outside. We are taught how to hold our spoon and feed ourselves, how to nurse the bottle through a bottle. And we are taught how to walk. We are told, look at this, that, and the other thing. But we are never taken inside and told, look at all the wonder, the power, the beauty, the presence. That glorious, inimitable presence that is within you, my child. I hope that everyone here who has a child or who is in contact with a child will never tell him that he is a miserable sinner living in sin, but rather that that child will be taught that he is a child of God, and that God loves him, which indeed he does, and that God's love permeates and pervades every little tiny bit of this universe, because God is love. That's how all the sickness comes. That's how all the mental derangements come. That's how all of the unrest comes. We are such miserable sinners. Repent, repent. Of course, we shouldn't condone our sins. There's no question about that. But if we think only of God, we won't be so apt to sin, will we? We won't be so apt to do the things that we know are against our highest good. That if we are engrossed in the consciousness of God, then we are filled with the bliss, the peace, the wonder, the beauty of His presence. And everything that goes forth from us then will be that. And it is that way that we will change a world. And that will happen now, if you will live in the now. Not tomorrow or the next year. We're always looking forward that we're going to change, or we're going to have this, or we're going to do this tomorrow, next week, next month, next year. And before we know it, a whole lifetime has gone by. And we haven't accomplished one little tiny bit, hardly, of what we started out to do. Few there are who do it. And that is because we try to do it. And that is because we are writers. We are always putting off what we must do today, thinking it can wait until tomorrow. And that is the greatest mistake that ever happened. Why don't you learn to live now, this moment? Fill your life full of the thought of God, the activity of God. Listen to His voice of direction. Ask Him what He wants you to do, what He wants you to say, what He wants you to feel, what He wants you to think, and then just flow with it, flow with it, so that there is no more I asking, but there is just a state of being, a constant communion with God. It is filled with happiness, with laughter. It is filled with brilliance, with success, excitement, adventure. It is filled with everything in the universe, because then, you have realized who and what you are in Him. And you are one with everything there is. It must come. It must come. Look around us. Nation fighting against nation. People fighting for power. That's what starts war. We can't get rid of this little, I have to have this and you can't have that. I want to take it from you. You are doing this to me, so therefore I must do that to you. It doesn't matter what anybody else does. It only matters what you do. Because you are responsible, you alone, to God Himself, for every thought, every word, every action. No one else. We must not be judgmental of each other, because God is the judge. And believe me, as we judge, so shall we be judged. We must remember that. Why do we not just relax and enjoy everybody else? You know, we don't always have to speak. The other fellow has a great deal to offer. I've many times said, and believe me, it is the truth, there is not worth one person who ever comes before me that I don't learn something from, because God is in that form. And you know, no matter what experiences I have had in God, I don't ever plan until the last breath I draw to stop doing exactly that. Of learning from my fellow man, because God is in him and he has something very special, very unique in him to offer me. And hopefully, God willing, he can get something from God in this form. You know, each one of us comes with that special gift inside of ourselves. And if we would try listening once in a while instead of talking so much, you can get a whole wealth of information about subjects that you never even knew about before. You can find that the other fellow has lived, that he has studied, that he has gained from his experiences in life, and that he has something solid to give to you. Even if it's an example of what not to do. And that sometimes happens. Because until a man finds himself, then he is in sorry shape indeed. It can be done. And it can be done by you. The big you inside of you. I am that I am. I would like to ask you to give this serious consideration. To take it home with you. And go in deep meditation this evening, tomorrow morning, and every day from now on. Fixing your attention only upon Him, asking Him for nothing, but just lift yourself up. And when you hear His knocking on your door, open that door, and He will come in and sup with you, and you with Him, and you will find in truth that you will never die, that you are living in the eternal now, that you may shed a garment, but you, yourself, God in you will live forever. Now let us pray to Him. All Heavenly Father,
Divine Mother,
I feel the wonder and the beauty
of Thy glorious presence
in every part of my being.
My
heart is bursting with my love for Thee.
I kneel in adoration
at
Thy feet.
And surrender myself to Thee.
I feel the power of Thy perfection.
Surging in every cell of my body. My mind and my intelligence. Are radiant with Thy healing light. My soul is filled with the ecstasy and bliss. Of my communion with Thee. I and my Father are one. Blessed Spirit, I am He. O Heavenly Father,
open
my eyes that I may see Thy face. Open my ears that I may hear Thy footsteps everywhere. Open my heart that I may feel the glory of Thy love. O Heavenly Father, may Thy love shine forever.
Upon
the sanctuary of my devotion.
May
I be able to awaken all hearts with my own. And bring them to Thee.
Oh.